Tapasu taptam kim manena purvam. Nirastamanena chatmanadena. Tamo tavat sava janano kampaya. Yato bhavam sushati sarva jiva. Tapa, austerity, sutaptam, properly performed. Kim, what? Anena, by Kaliya. Purvam, in previous lives. Nirastamanena, being free from false pride. Cha, and manadena, giving respect to others. Dharma, religious duty, atava, or else, sarvajana, to all persons, anukampaya, with compassion, yata, by which, bhavan, your good self, tushyati, is satisfied. Sarva jiva, the source of life for all beings. Translation: did our husband carefully perform austerities in a previous life with his mind free of pride and full of respect for others? Is that why you are pleased with him? Or did he, in some previous existence, carefully execute religious duties with compassion for all living beings? And is that why you, the life of all living beings, are now satisfied with him? Purport: in this regard, Srila Prabhupada comments in Krishna, Supreme Personality of God, Volume 1, Chapter 16. The Naga Patnis confirm that one cannot come in contact with Krishna without having executed pious activities and devotional service in one's previous life. As Lord Chaitanya advised in his Shastaka, one has to execute devotional service by humbly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street, and not expecting honor for oneself, but offering all kinds of honor to others. The Nagapatnis were astonished that although Kaliya had the body of a serpent as a result of grievous sinful activities, at the same time he was in contact with the Lord, to the extent that the Lord's lotus feet were touching his hoods. Certainly this is not the ordinary result of pious activities. These two contradictory facts astonish them. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kali has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking vows of austerities. Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingdom of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma, or rulership of the earth. They are not interested even in the performance of yoga or in liberation itself. O Lord, although this Kaliya, the king of serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger, he has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can have all benedictions manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. Purport: is very rare for a conditioned soul to free himself from the contamination of illusion and thus become established in perfect consciousness of the absolute truth. And yet this benediction was achieved by the serpent Kaliya because the Lord personally danced upon the serpent's hoods with his lotus feet. Although we conditioned souls may not receive the mercy of having the Lord dance on our head, we can receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Absolute through the Lord's representative, the bona fide spiritual master, and thus go back home back to Godhead, forever freed from the misery and ignorance of the mundane universe. Translation: did our husband carefully perform austerities in the previous life with his mind free of pride and full of respect for others? Is that why you are pleased with him? Or did he in some previous existence carefully execute religious duties with compassion for all living beings? And is that why you, the life of all living beings, are now satisfied with him? So these are the wives of the of Kaliya speaking now to glorify the Supreme Lord and plead for their mercy for their husband. But they're doing it actually by, they're praising the Lord by showing the good fortune of their husband and getting chastised by Krishna and getting his mercy. So therefore they are glorifying the process of getting the mercy of the Lord. Here we see that they say that, how did our husband get this benediction of getting your mercy and getting touched by your feet? So they say, is it tapa or austerities that does this, or is it dharma that does this? How is it possible for him to get to this position of having the Lord touch him on the head with his feet? So in most cases there must be some previous activity which or reason why the Lord gives mercy to a person. Of course, we talk of causeless mercy. But at the same time, if the Lord irrationally gives out mercy with no rhyme and reason, it looks a little peculiar. In other words, you do sadhana for 20 years and you get nothing, and then someone that walks along gets it in 2 minutes or something from the Lord, looks a little strange. So if the Lord is going to act like that, no one would do any sadhana, because they would expect to get it in 2 minutes somehow or other. So we cannot say the Lord's mercy is completely unreasonable, unpredictable in all cases, and illogical and irrational, whatever. Because the Lord says, accordingly as you surrender unto me, I respond to you. And we do know, as from the case of or an explanation of Vishnu and Damodar getting bound up, the two factors to make Krishna get bound up are endeavor on the part of the devotee and the mercy of Krishna. Both are necessary. So we have to do some endeavor, and then Krishna responds with mercy. And then Krishna becomes bound up or controlled by the devotee. So definitely in most cases we do have to exert effort and in devotional service. And in rare cases, what is called Kripa Siddhi, we do get this, we can call irrational behavior of the Lord, in which he liberates demons and puts them in the spiritual world, etc., like Agasura or Putana. So that's up to the will of the Lord. That also is not irrational. From our point of view, yes it is, because why should a demon get a position in the spiritual world? When a devotee, that's what a devotee gets. But still, it is not the same as what a devotee gets. Even though Putana gets to the spiritual world, we cannot say she gets the same thing. Her relationship with Krishna is never going to be the same as that of a sincere devotee who has practiced in this material world and cultivated his a favorable relationship with the Lord. That devotee, he will go to the spiritual world and his relationship with the Lord will be much better. So if the demon can get such a position of being a nurse of Krishna as Putana was, what to speak of a devotee who does favorable service to the Lord, how much closer they will be than Putana is. So anyway, the results are not actually the same, even though it looks as if it is extraordinary mercy or whatever. For the devotee, the Lord gives even more extraordinary mercy than he gives to the demons. So, and the Lord will have his reasons why he will give liberation or position in the spiritual world, like Sarupya or Salokya, to a particular demon. So it is not irrational. The Lord has his own reasons for everything. In the material world, the Lord gives mercy, but unfortunately, the jivas, many jivas, are not ready for it. So that is why when Lord Chaitanya says we plant the seed of bhakti, bhakti lata bij, in the heart, that's true, the mercy of the Lord is there. But the Lord gives it freely or wants to give it free to everybody, but the ground is not fertile to accept the seed and make it grow. In other words, some people's hearts will not accept that seed and make it grow. So even if the Lord gives extraordinary mercy to everybody, they don't take it. So the Lord is all merciful to everyone, but some people are not ready for that mercy, and therefore they don't take advantage. So therefore one has to come up to a certain qualification before one takes to bhakti. So what is the cause of this mercy of the Lord? The mercy Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Pada Bija, by the mercy of Guru Krishna, one gets bhakti. What is the case of Kaliya, a demon getting the mercy? So here they're saying, maybe you did some tapasya, maybe he did some tapasya in his previous lifetime to get this great benediction of the Supreme Lord. But ordinary tapasya and ordinary dharma are not going to give that mercy normally. If one gets direct contact with the Supreme Lord, and one gets bhakti and mercy, etc., from the Lord, it is not generated. That is not generated by regular pious activities, because we know karma is karma, and karma breeds sattva-gun, and that's all it can do. It cannot create bhakti, because it's material. So how do we get mercy of the Lord? How do we get the qualification? So not the regular tapasya, etc. This is not the cause. The real cause is actually devotion itself. Bhakti is generated by bhakti, not by anything else, because bhakti is spiritual. So it is something spiritual which is the cause of our developing bhakti. But then, of course, we'll say, well, I don't have any bhakti. I didn't have any bhakti, so how did it get there? So by association and mercy of devotees, that's how the bhakti starts. So if we've done any tapasya or whatever, dharma, etc., that may be favorable for developing detachment from the material world, good conduct, etc., but that does not create bhakti. That faith which produces bhakti will be produced by association and mercy of devotees in previous lifetimes. So that is the ultimate cause of bhakti, previous association of devotees. So in Nectar Devotion we have Adau Shraddha Tato Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya. Rupa Goswami mentions the steps in bhakti, starting with, in the beginning, faith, then sadhu sangha, and then bhajana kriya, which means performing bhakti, and anartana vritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. So there's a development from shraddha. But Vishnu Chakravarti says that ultimately, where does the shraddha come from? The faith. By which, this is the qualification for sadhana bhakti. One should have faith, shraddha. So where does that faith come from? And that faith, of course, is faith in the scriptures, in Vaidhi Bhakti, faith in the scriptures. Because Vaidhi Bhakti means that we will do activities of bhakti according to what the scripture says. So we have faith in the scriptures. So where do we generate that faith from? So that initial faith comes from sadhu sangha. So he says the word adau in the beginning actually means sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha breeds shraddha. Shraddha breeds sadhu sangha again. And then we practice devotional service, and then we become purified and advance in devotional service. So the influence of the devotee in the material world is the usual cause of everything. In rare cases, Krishna himself will do this. It's possible also. But in other cases, it is most cases it is sadhu sangha that will do that. A case of the Lord himself doing it seems to be Sukadev Goswami, because in the womb itself, somehow or other, he seemed to get mercy and develop attraction for the Lord, even though he was an Atman Rama, who were rather indifferent to material world and to Krishna. He developed an attraction for Krishna by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And when he came out of the womb, then he was interested in seeking out the Supreme Lord. So we have cases of the Lord himself giving that mercy as well. So in any case, normal austerities and dharma, etc., are not the cause of bhakti, though they are can be favorable to that. Somehow or other, the Lord must be pleased, and then he will give his mercy. So it is not the normal dharma which is pleasing, and it is not the normal tapa that is pleasing. If they are, those things are bhakti, then very fine. So in Bhagavad Gita at the end, Krishna says, give up all dharma and surrender unto me. So therefore, that giving up all the dharma indicates that dharma is not the cause of bhakti. If we're going to give it up and surrender to the Lord. So what is pleasing to the Lord is the surrender. Hamamikam sharanam raja. That is the pleasing thing. And give up all these other things. Not so pleasing. So does that mean, therefore, that one should reject all dharma and break all the rules and be a criminal? No. Under normal circumstances, we have to also follow the rules of dharma which are favorable to bhakti. So there's nothing wrong with dharma, but we should not think that it is actually bhakti. There's a distinction there. And the same with tapa. We have to control the senses and follow some standards. But it is not tapas and sense control itself that creates bhakti. It will create sama. And sama is very favorable for shanta, rasa, at best. So in this way, the wives of Kaliya are saying that Kaliya must have got some, done something in previous life in order to get this great benediction of having you stand on his head and get touched by his feet. In other words, they're glorifying the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And that mercy is such that, and that position of Kali is such of having direct contact with the Lord, they said that even the goddess of fortune Lakshmi has to do great austerities for a long period of time, desiring to get such a position, to get the lotus feet of the Lord's dust. She has to do austerities, etc. And of course it says also that even though she does this, she doesn't get the association of Krishna. She cannot get. And she also wanted to come into the Rasleela, and she could not get in because she had the wrong body, in spite of austerities or whatever. Whereas the Upanishads, in the personified Vedas, the Upanishads also pray by developing a similar mentality to the gopis, then we have attained. We attained the bodies of gopis. So these are the Srutticharas, the gopis who were actually Upanishads in their previous lifetime, and they participated in Krishna's pastimes when he appeared, along with the sages, the munis, the Municharas, who were praying to Lord Ramchandra that we would like to associate with the Lord in conjugal rasa in a future incarnation. So they became gopis also, because they had a desire to have such a position. But they had to change their bodies, of course. And similarly, the Upanishads also changed their bodies. They became gopis. Then they could associate with the Supreme Lord. But Lakshmi did not change her body, so she could not do so, even though she did austerities, etc. So they're saying here, the wives of Kali are saying, even Lakshmi is trying to attain association with you by doing austerities, whatever, but she cannot also. And yet Kaliya is getting the association of the Lord. How is that? A big demon. So it is surprising, of course, if a demon is so sinful, etc., gets the mercy of the Lord, because the Lord comes to kill all the demons in the material world. And why Krishna has to be so merciful to them instead of being merciful to the devotees? So, though he is a demon, because the Lord is the Lord and he knows everything and he's also the most merciful, if he sees fit and if he sees some qualification even in the demon, then he won't kill him. He will kill where necessary and do what is necessary after he kills him. But if he sees that particular demon has some propensity, then he won't kill him. So Bali was also a demon. He didn't kill him. Instead, he became a devotee. He surrendered to the Lord also. So therefore, the Lord is very, very merciful. And this lila actually shows the great mercy of the Lord in considering all facts and all conditions of the jiva and then acting upon that. So the Nagapatnis here, they say that this is actually a very famous verse, 37. That those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet do not hanker for Naka Prishta, which can mean heaven. It can also mean even Dhruvaloka, according to Rupa Goswami. He quotes this verse in the second chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to show how the devotees are completely disinterested in all material benefits and even liberation. They don't want any of these things. So this verse gets quoted there. So the devotees of the Lord who have attained the dust of the Lord's feet, they do not desire any position, any planet in the material world, including Svarga Loka or anything above, and even Dhruva Loka, they don't want that even. And they don't want Sarvabhauma, they don't want to be on this earth, they don't want to have a kingdom or rule the whole world. Or Brahma Loka Parameshram, they don't want that. And they don't want control of the lower planetary system. So from top to bottom, from Dhruva Loka to Brahma Loka to Svarga Loka to the earth planet and to the lower planetary systems, they don't want anything. So there, it goes from top to bottom, we can say, from the best to the worst, and still they don't want any of those things. But the interesting thing that after saying all of this and putting the hellish planets at the bottom, then he says they don't even want Yoga City, and they don't even want liberation. So these are even worse for the devotee than getting rulership of Patala Loka. Being a tamasic entity ruling over Patala Loka. Worse than that is to get Yoga Cities, and worse than that is to get liberation. So none of these are desired by the devotee of the Lord, the one who has attained the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotees don't want any of this. Now, of course, it's a little confusing because generally we say that, okay, Karma Yoga is at the bottom, and then we have Gyan Yoga, then you get liberation and yoga. And Krishna says, and better than karma is jnana, better than jnana is yoga. And better than yoga is bhakti. So then it looks like jnana is better than karma, or yoga is better than jnana. But here we have this jnana and liberation completely rejected and stuck at the bottom. Better to be in a Svarga Loka than to have liberation. So of course there's a different perspective here, and that is that this particular liberation is the liberation of merging in the Lord and annihilating one's material existence so that bhakti becomes impossible. So if you're on Rasatala or Patala or somewhere on the earth or in Brahma Loka, you still have chances of doing devotional service even if you're enjoying. But once you merge into the Supreme Lord and your identity is annihilated, then there's no chance. So that's why this is put at the very bottom. And on the other hand, Krishna puts this above karma and then yoga and then bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, the conclusion is that that jnana and that yoga cannot be the same thing. It has to be a little different. So that is explained by Baldev Devotion, that the jnana that is spoken of there is not actually so impersonal, but it is simply a stage of atma-jnana, realizing that one is not the body, one is the soul. Which is also necessary for devotional development. So a person who concentrates on that first, I'm not the body, I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm eternal, etc. He develops a realization of atma. And from there, he develops his realization of Supreme Lord. So he goes from karma and enjoys, then he becomes detached, and then he begins to understand that he's not the body, then he practices jnana, then he realizes I am atma, I'm not the body, and then he practices yoga and understands paramatma is also there, and develops a slight relationship, and then he practices bhakti. And that way he becomes perfect. So that is why jnana is considered superior to karma in Bhagavad Gita. Not because of the impersonal aspect, but because of the atma-jnana aspect only. So in this way, the hierarchy is a little different. So here, they are saying that this impersonal liberation at the very bottom, completely rejected. Nevertheless, the devotees don't want any of these things, anything. They don't want anything in the material world. They don't want any position there, nor do they want yoga, siddhis, nor do they want that impersonal liberation. None of this is desired by the devotees of the Lord. Those who have attained the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord are completely attached to the Lord, very, very privileged. So Kaliya got the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord without doing anything, except, of course, trying to poison him. So to get that, very, very exalted position of getting the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord is very extraordinary. Something very, very treasured. So therefore they say, Kaliya must have done something to get this great privilege, even though he's a great demon. Must have done something. And they say, yes, he is born in the mode of ignorance. And of course they said he was a snake, and a snake birth is not very good, very bad birth. So he's born in the mode of ignorance, and snakes are envious and angry, etc. And he's full of anger. And yet, in spite of that, he got the mercy. What this points out is that in spite of the fact that we may have many bad karmas, which will manifest in low birth and misery and whatnot and bad qualities, etc., in the material world, that is not necessarily a disqualification for bhakti, for faith, that is, to produce bhakti. So what, two things can go on simultaneously, that is bad qualities and bad karma plus qualification for bhakti. They can both be there. And that is why Krishna also says even the low-class people like the sudras or the outcasts, they can also take the devotional service even though the karma is very bad. Still they can do. So karma and bhakti don't necessarily contradict each other. We could have bad karmas and also have the bhakti. And therefore the Lord will have mercy on that person. So in this way the looks a little bit different from the regular course of dharma. And that is why anybody, if they have faith, can practice bhakti. Anybody cannot practice jnana. They have to become sattvic first. And they have to go through many births and then become sattvic, and then they can do bhakti, jnana or yoga also. So they do go through karma yoga, and karma, etc., and become purified, then they do jnana. And Shankaracharya says this in commentary, Atata Brahma Jigyasa means the inquiry into Brahman takes place only after you've gone all the way through karma and you've practiced karma and varnashram and karmakanda, etc., and exhausted all of that and become purified. Then you're ready for Brahma Jigyasa, jnana. So that is not the qualification for bhakti. Sattva guna is not the qualification. Austerity is not the qualification. Dharma is not the qualification. Only faith. And the faith operates independently of these things. It can exist in spite of having bad karmas and no dharma, etc. So even the outcast, even the lowest person, he can also take to bhakti if that sincere faith is there. And the reason is that bhakti is not material. All these other things are material qualifications, and bhakti is non-material. So of course we can say, well, that's true, but then in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that of the gunas, sattva guna is more favorable for bhakti. So therefore we expect people in sattva guna to become devotees rather than those in tamaguna. So yes, that is true, but it's not an absolute rule. So it's favorable, definitely, and it assists one. But again, even the devotee also rejects sattva guna, ultimately. Bhakti is caused by something different. Bhakti is caused by the mercy of devotees, and that mercy may be given to one person, and he may be in tamagun, rajagun, or sattvagun, or whatever. Doesn't matter. But if he gets that mercy in association or whatever, that can influence him and develop his bhakti, in spite of the fact that he's got all these karmas on him. So the karmas may be bad, and due to the influence of mercy in previous lifetimes, still that faith can exist and not get destroyed, because it continues birth after birth. So in this way, in spite of the fact that our karmas are going one way, the bhakti may also manifest at that point. Of course, if a person continually indulges in sinful activity, this becomes unfavorable for bhakti also. If he does periodic sinful activity, that's not so bad, and Krishna also says, yes, I forgive that person. If it's continuous, of course, then it means more sense gratification, and when sense gratification becomes too extreme, it is unfavorable for bhakti to develop. One will reject the Lord, and the faith will disappear. So anyway, the devotee gives association and mercy, and a little influence. It influences the jiva to develop a little faith. And that can appear to anyone, even in the demon, even in Kaliya. If you got some previous mercy somehow, then that spark can be there. And if it is in another lifetime later on, one gets more association either of devotees or the Lord, then that can develop further. In this case, Kaliya got the mercy of Krishna and he developed and he surrendered by the association of the Lord. Other demons don't. They just get killed. Kali was a little fortunate. He surrendered at that point. So this is one of the qualities of bhakti, that it can appear in anyone. Regardless of the material qualification, faith can appear and then bhakti can appear. And of course, bhakti is indestructible under normal circumstances. It will continue life after life and does not get exhausted by one's other activities and experiences. Okay.
You're speaking about faith being the qualification for bhakti. Is that faith just as simple as accepting Krishna as God, or is it more than that?
Yeah, in the beginning, obviously, it's weak. It's not strong. It is a conviction in the existence of the Lord. And in Vaidhi Bhakti, it means that we accept the verdict of Scripture. We accept the Scripture and we're willing to listen to it and follow it. That's the initial faith. If it becomes stronger, later it's called Vishvasa. It just means the same thing, actually, but it's a development of that more strong faith. And that also is considered, actually, to be a type of, what is it? Friendship, actually, and when it says Sakya is one of the angas of Vaidhi Bhakti, one type of Sakya is Vishvas, we have strong faith in the Lord. And I think examples given of a statement in the Mahabharata that, O Govinda, remembering you, I maintain my life, and that you always protect your devotees. Remembering that you protect your devotees, I maintain my life. So the strong conviction in the Lord's mercy. So as one goes on in devotional service, that faith increases and increases in different ways. And of course we can say it deepens until it becomes bhava and then prema. It becomes attachment to the Lord, attraction to the Lord, and then bhava and prema.
As you said, the faith is developed from succession of devotees if you die, will the fight be just superficial?
Oh, well, it takes many, many lifetimes usually. Because if we don't have faith, we don't consciously go for association. So it's like, say, accidental. I mean, somehow you walk down the street and you hear the holy name, or accidentally you eat some food and have these prasadam, or accidentally you see the Rath Yatra pass and you see Jagannath in the cart one lifetime like this, you know. These things happen. And it takes many lifetimes for that to build up. It has influence, but it's little influence. And it takes time to build that up. And what it does is it affects the jiva. The jiva develops a little different attitude, and he doesn't want to enjoy so much, and he becomes a little attracted to the Lord at that point. But it is a little attraction, so it's covered up for many lifetimes because of what we still have so much material enjoyment. So when it becomes stronger and stronger over many lifetimes, and we get more accidental associations like this, at a certain point it begins to surface and it becomes consciousness, and we develop develop conscious interest and favorable attitude towards the Lord. Then we seek out devotees or whatever and get knowledge, and then we develop quickly after that.
Do souls in an animal form still gain from like hearing the holy name, eating prasad and stuff?
Well, we see the case of Lord Chaitanya. He gave association to the dog and fed him prasadam. Apparently he left his body and went to the spiritual world. And there's other cases like that also. There's a rat that a mouse or something in the deity room, and it was trying to nibble the ghee, and in doing so he made the wick burn very nicely and it lit up the deity. the mouse got went to the spiritual world for that, because he did service to the Lord by lighting up his face like this, like an arti or something. So there's stories like that. At the same time, we have other statements like to chant, automatically, like a parrot chants, And they may say Hare Krishna also. They say that's useless. Parrot chanting is useless, because they have no idea what they're chanting. They're just making some sounds like that. So, two opinions there, I think. In any case, any association of any jiva with devotional service has some impact, but it's not so strong. So therefore, just as we get Agata Sukritis, so the animals also can get, but of course in that case they'll be even weaker because their consciousness is even lower. So it'll take longer for that to operate in most cases. If they get prasadam, fine, they can advance by that, or whatever, hearing the holy name or whatever, but of course their consciousness is much lower than human beings, so therefore the effects will be much weaker.
You're saying the fight starts when you join us, where the fight starts with God. Surely we have to have faith and develop faith in not only Krishna, but His word, His instructions, His paraphernalia, His pastimes, His devotees, and everything. And the process that Srila Prabhupada has put in place for us. We have to have and develop more faith in that than anything else. So as we come here to purify ourselves, qualify ourselves, I mean, to have our heart clean enough to have that seat of bhakti placed in
it? Well, if we come towards the Lord, in the sense we do have some sort of faith already, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we come. Okay. That has to develop.
Faith in everything.
Yeah.
Not just faith in God, but in everything that He's left here for us.
Yeah, that's the initial thing by which we come, and then that faith develops on all levels of, form, quality, activities of the Lord. Through the hearing process, we understand scripture. Basically, for Vaidhi Bhakti, it is faith in the scripture and everything it says.
So that
means Abhideya, Prayojana, Sambandha, everything.
developing it in faith is a purification process by which we qualify ourselves to then learn to love Krishna.
Yeah, that faith, in other words, the deeper the faith gives, the more it transforms into bhava and then prema. In other words, we can say that faith transforms into attraction for the Lord. So we get up to ruchi and asakti, and then we get bhava, and which is very strong, and the possessiveness of the Lord takes place at that point, and then finally prema.
So the more faith we can develop in the process, the more attachment we can have, and the quicker and closer we get to Krishna.
Well, in the Nectar Devotion, the Rupa Goswami says there's Kanishta faith, there is Madhyama faith and Uttama faith. And of course, Uttama is better. So the Uttama faith is described as Prauda, Shraddha, very deep convictions in the Lord, so that he never sways from his convictions in the Lord. But at the same time, in Vaidhi Bhakti, it is because of his extensive study and realization of scripture, using even intelligence or logic. He says yukti is also there. So one uses one's intelligence to logically analyze the scripture and find out the actual meaning.
And the more faith that we have in the absolute truth is there for us, the more we can.
So there's like mutually investigating and the curiosity, and then going to the scriptures and learning them and going through them thoroughly, and that increases the faith more. And of course, the more faith you have, the more realization you get of the scripture also.
Because we have to hear before we can begin to listen. And once we hear and we begin to listen, then we can begin to look.
Yeah.
And the more we see, the more we can hear, the more we listen, the more we can see. That have to be wrapped up together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you say, as someone advances more in Krishna consciousness, we attract more of the Lord's mercy, and therefore make more rapid advancement?
Well, yeah. Accordingly, as you surrender unto me, I respond to you. That's a general indication. And we see, like in bhakti, Krishna gives himself and is under the control of the devotee in prema. And that's one, you know, the Lord gives himself to the devotee. That takes place in prema, Krishna Karshini. Huh? Krishna completely gives himself. That he doesn't give himself completely to the neophyte, but he gives himself completely to the person in prema. So we can say the response of the Lord is more, the more you give yourself to the Lord. So in the beginning you give yourself a little bit, the Lord also responds a little bit. So that's why the initial stage, this will probably be more slow, sadhana goes up like that. When you get to bhava and prema, then it becomes very quick, because one's relationship is already established and it's very intense at that point, so it becomes very quick at that point to get perfection. But the previous may be much more slower. Because one's trying to get rid of all anarthas, etc., and the faith is weak. But there are cases, extraordinary cases also. That's called kripa, extraordinary kripa. And the normal case, this is a gradual process through sadhana, and the mercy is manifest that way, gradually. The other is the quick way, where Krishna just gives mercy and you develop very, very quickly at that point. But that's rare. Okay, Hare Krishna.